Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
4 months ago, an earthquake and tsunami caused a nuclear crisis in Japan at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. It led to partial nuclear meltdowns in three of the reactors and caused really a global panic over the possibility of perhaps a full-on nuclear meltdown. That didn't happen, and in fact, Japanese officials say the plant is finally stable and within 6 months could achieve a cold shutdown. Joining us now, David Biello, Associate Editor and Scientific American. David, explain what cold shutdown is. This is good news, right?
Yes. Essentially, it means that the reactor will no longer be hot enough, or the melted down reactors will no longer be hot enough to boil water. And that means that none of the radioactive isotopes will be traveling with that boiled water anywhere into the atmosphere or the surrounding countryside. And that's a good thing.
But, I mean, the plants will never be used again. And what happens now with all the radioactivity that was released into the atmosphere around the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant? What will happen to that area?
That is an excellent question, and it remains to be seen what will happen to that area. I mean, we're talking about an area of some 600 square kilometers that's been contaminated with radioactive isotopes. That's a lot of dirt. As we've already seen, some of that radioactivity is getting into the food supply and getting into people that way. Some towns have had to be evacuated. And in situations like this, it's simply a question of how much money there is to dedicate to the cleanup. Essentially, what you have to do is dig up the dirt and put it somewhere else and replace it with fresh, clean dirt. In other places where this has happened, specifically Chernobyl, essentially what they did was turn the contaminated area into a large no-go zone, an exclusion zone, and people aren't allowed in there, and it's turned into quite the little wildlife preserve, although some of those wildlife have characteristics that you wouldn't normally recognize.
First, speaking of David Biello, Associate Editor and Scientific American, I mean, since you mentioned Chernobyl, I mean, people often say that it's the accidents and mistakes that tell us more about processes than anything else. So we had the data, the information that we learned after Chernobyl. What have we learned after Fukushima that tells us how to avoid this in the future?
Well, perhaps the first thing we learned is don't build nuclear reactors in a subduction zone.
Yeah.
And if you do, make sure that they have adequate protections, like critical components above sea level. A lot of the problems at Fukushima were, simply put, problems of poor design. So once again, kind of human error combined with a horrific natural catastrophe have led us to a bad place with nuclear power. That's been kind of the case with most of these terrible accidents. Kind of the human capacity for error is something that it's tricky to design around.
So what happens to the melted down fuel, David?
It depends. We still don't know exactly how badly it melted down, and that will make all the difference in terms of what happens going forward. So comparing it to the two other partial or full meltdowns that have occurred, if it's more like Three Mile Island, then the fuel rods will be partially melted down, and they'll be able to kind of contain them and chop them up and cart them away, and that would be a good thing. If it's more like Chernobyl, where the fuel completely melts down, and that's a very real possibility since we have multiple meltdowns here, then what you have is a puddle of melted down nuclear fuel, and a puddle is much more difficult to deal with. Essentially, they'd have to build a big containment structure and just let it sit there for many, many years.
Why does it, at this point, they're saying that they could achieve cold shutdown within 6 months. What are they doing within these 6 months? Why does it take that long?
It's physics. Basically, they're pumping water onto these fuel rods in whatever state they're in and dropping their temperature, and that takes time, essentially 6 months' worth of time, to carry away enough heat so that those fuel rods are no longer capable of boiling water. The fuel rods are still kind of undergoing the process of of radioactive decay. The particles that are inside those fuel rods are breaking down. When they break down, they release heat. And obviously, that heat is what you want to carry away so that the fuel rods don't continue to melt down.
We're speaking to David Biello, Associate Editor at Scientific American. We're talking about the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in Japan. We just got word that the plant is stable and on track to achieve cold shutdown within 6 months. So, David, at this point, it seems like there's still a whole lot that we don't know. We don't know how dangerous it is to go within, say, a mile of this plant, right?
Well, it's relatively safe to go within a mile of the plant because it's no longer kind of pumping out radioactive isotopes, and they have a lot of plans for reducing that even further, like putting a plastic shroud over the buildings that were damaged in the explosions. That will cut down on it even more.
Would you live within a mile of the plant?
Oh, I'm not. I would not move back to let's say Itate, the city with high radioactive isotope levels anytime soon, not until the Japanese government has dedicated some serious money to clean up.
How close would you get, David? If you were going to buy a house in Japan, how far away would you put that house?
Well, if I was going to buy a house, that's an excellent question. What you need to remember is that there are hotspots associated with this. So some of the places that are relatively close to the plant are relatively safe, and it would be perfectly fine for people to kind of move back there. Other places further away are actually more dangerous because of kind of rainfall patterns and the rest of it. Some of the places to the northwest really got the bulk of the radioactivity deposited on top of them, and those are places that I would imagine will probably never recover and will become the kind of nuclear parks that I was talking about.
David Biello, Associate Editor at Scientific American. So, David, are we doing what we need to in the United States? Are our plants here no longer have these design problems?
No. Our plants here still have the same design problems as Fukushima. We also are cramming even more spent fuel into our fuel pools than they did at Fukushima, and that's what caused the problem. As you might recall, those pools also experienced some meltdown as the water drained away. That's still a very real and significant danger here in the U.S., and the NRC, our national regulator, is looking into what changes need to be made in the wake of Fukushima.
David Biello, Associate Editor for Environment and Energy at Scientific American. Thanks as always, David.
Thank you.